It's been a very interesting morning for me. There was an event on campus yesterday called the Main Event, and it's the students put it on every year so that they can raise money for the Children's Hospital. And they asked us every year, and we do so, loan them some tables. And so we did. And they wanted to bring them back at 2:00 this morning. And I said, I love you guys a lot, but that won't work for me. So we agreed upon 7:00. It's now 9:15. No tables. And there's an event following the 11:00 mass that people are upstairs getting ready for. And so from 7 to about 8:30, someone was pretty grumpy. Yeah. So as I was listening to the letter of Paul to the Philippians, I hate it when this happens. It is not that I have already taken hold of it or have already attained perfect maturity. Not even close, folks. Not even close. So while I was sitting out there waiting for the students to show up, I had plenty of time to think about the homily this morning. Because, you know, that's how it works. And I read some of the commentaries, and one of the things that one of the commentaries said was that when Jesus was writing on the ground, he was writing the sins of the people who had brought the woman to him. He never said anything, he just started writing them out. And then when they continued to say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, Jesus has consistently said to us, judge not. Forgive. Be holy as your Father is holy. Love as your Father loves. And so he knew what was going on, and he knew what they wanted him to do. But he simply just sort of was writing on the ground, and we don't know what it was. But it's an interesting thought to think, well, he's just writing down the sins of the people who were there. Because when he's finished, they will be able to be condemned as well for their sins. But he simply looked up and he said, if you want to follow the law, let he who was without sin do that. Have at it, folks. But you have to start with the one who's without sin. The other thing that Jesus consistently challenges us to do is to look inside ourselves to see how we can change, how we can carry out this law of love that he keeps bringing up, God, neighbor, self. Again and again and again, he says, look inside. You are capable of being that kind of person, but you have to change how you think. You have to change how you approach things. It's not about being above the law. It's trying to understand what the law is about. And so one by one, off they go. I know I'm not without sin. I know that I'm not without sin. No one condemned her, and neither did Jesus Christ. He does what he always does. He forgives. He says, God loves you. Don't do this again. Be changed. Take this opportunity that you have been given by God and make something of it. Live out your life differently. I would ask us today to think about the number of times Jesus has given us an opportunity to live out our lives differently, has forgiven us our sins again and again and again and again. I understand that Jesus will forgive me my grumpiness because I trust and ask him for forgiveness. That's the key piece. We have to go to God. We swim in grace. We actually live in grace. But we have to seek it out, and we have to request God's grace to come into us, or we miss it. We don't know what happened to this woman. We don't know what happened to the people who wanted to stone her. But I would suggest that each of the people who were involved in this incident in Scripture were changed somehow. Somehow. Because we know that all the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees were not against Jesus. Members of that group came and sought him out and listened to him and followed him and tried to follow his teachings. He had an impact on those people too. Time and again, Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, to name two. There were others. The opportunity we have, if we stand in God's grace, to be different is essential to living out our Catholic faith. We get to choose how we enter in to this relationship we have with God. He's unchanging. I've decided that God's love is relentless. He's not going to give up. Again and again and again, we hear the scriptures. Again and again and again, we go again with this scripture. And again, when you're confronted by Jesus Christ, tempted in the desert, vanquishing the devil, transfigured before his disciples, giving them just a little hint of what lays before them if they follow God's love. Jesus knew on his path where he was going. He knew that his path led to the garden and to the cross. But he also knew that it led to the resurrection. That's where it leads us as well. We, each of us, are on a journey. Each of us may or may not have a garden. Each of us are tempted. Each of us have crosses that we bear. But the reward, the promise, the gift that Jesus gave us and continues to give us is the resurrection. And the power in that. The opportunity to spend eternity wrapped in God's grace. He doesn't judge us. He loves us.